Okay, I continue now. I was doing a summary of the grammatical explanations for Chapter 2. Okay, I think I came about 7, part 7, what's called prepositions and postpositions. I mean, don't be discouraged by these grammatical terms. But I think that they give two uses of this word anyatra. Anyatra means elsewhere, somewhere else. Then they give anyatra manusesu, or manusesu anyatra. Do you see this page 24? Page 24. Anyatra manusesu, or manusesu anyatra, as meaning among men. Or mankind. I think that's not the correct translation. I think it should be elsewhere, somewhere else among men or among human beings. But the other one, anyatra manusehi, or manusehi anyatra, means apart from human beings, somewhere else than where human beings live. That's the correct usage. Okay, number 8, this form called, for this word, peyalang, it's a way of avoiding repetition passages. So when the text says the same thing about, for example, there are 6 sense bases, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. And so the text will say, the eye, O monks, is impermanent, changing, becoming otherwise. Then instead of having to repeat the same thing about the ear, we'll say the ear peyalang, the nose peyalang, the tongue peyalang, the body peyalang. Then we'll say, for the mind, O monks, is impermanent, changing, becoming otherwise. In other words, it's almost like et cetera in English. Okay, number 9, this prefix sa. Sometimes when it's added to a noun, it gives the meaning of one's own. Sa is actually in Sanskrit swa. So if you study Madhyamaka philosophy, you come always across the expression swabhava, which means literally own nature or intrinsic essence, intrinsic nature. In Pali, this will be subhava. Or here they give the example, sachitta, one's own mind. Let me see some other examples. Saputta, one's own son. There are probably many examples, but I can't think of them. Okay, then the accusative of time. This is 10. In accusative case, the accusative case of the word referring to some element of time makes it a time adverb. Okay, to give an example of this, usually the accusative means the object of an action, like the man hit the dog comes and will come in the accusative. But here we have, okay, most suttas begin ekang samayang bhagava savatiyang viharati jetavane anathapindikasa arame. Ekang samayang is accusative, meaning one time. Then Bhagava, the exalted one, that's the Buddha, was living in the city of Shravasti at the monastery of Anathapindika. So instead of saying, normally in English you would say at one time, which would be a locative, then you would have to say in Pali, ekasmin samaye. But it's just idiomatic in Pali to use an accusative. Ekang samayang. Just as we do this in English, instead of saying at one time, okay, you could say at one time I was living in California, but I don't have to put it that way. I could say one time I was living in California. The same meaning. Okay, so words referring to periods of time, often they come in the accusative. But often they come in the locative. Ekasmin samaye, at one time. Tasmin samaye, at that time. Okay, compounds. This is a big subject in Pali, because in Pali one combines words into compounds much more commonly than one does in English. And there are different classes of compounds. I think as the book goes along, you will treat all the different classes of compounds. But here they're introducing one major class of compound, which is called dvanda compound, or the English rendering is coordinate compounds. And this is where you have two terms which are conjoined, and they both function grammatically in the same way within the sentence. For example, Dhamma Vinaya. Dhamma Vinayang. Okay, you say, the Buddha taught the Tathagata Dhamma Vinayang Pukkaseti. The Buddha, the Tathagata, the perfect one, Pukkaseti, reveals the Dhamma Vinaya, the doctrine and the discipline. Both Dhamma and Vinaya are accusative, and so they're joined together into one term. You could say, if in English we would say doctrine and discipline, with we would put hyphens between them. Yeah. Oh, that's a typographical mistake in the book. No, there's always two M's. I'm trying to think of some counterparts of a dvanda compound in English, but I can't think of any. But I'll point them out when we come across them in the reading selections. Okay, then compounds with gatta. Okay, gatta. This is a past participle. They say perfect participle. That's wrong. It's gatta is the past participle form of gacchati, to go, and it can be used to make a compound. For example, avijagatta means one who is literally gone to ignorance. In other words, one who is ignorant. And then point 12, this is the sandhi. Some forms in Pali that begin with a consonant, double a consonant, when a form ending with a vowel precedes it in a single word. The prefixes are in compounds. Okay, here, okay, good example. Tathagata plus pavedita, the P gets doubled, so it becomes Tathagata pavedita. Or appamado becomes appamado. The reason why the P gets doubled here is because if one knows Sanskrit, then okay, to take pravedita in Sanskrit would be pravedita. And so when you have an preceding a from like Tathagata plus this, it's a way of showing that there's actually a suppressed consonant here, which that suppressed consonant manifests itself in the compound. Similarly, in Sanskrit, pramada is pramada. Pramada. So when you put the a that in front of the Pali form, the suppressed R manifests by the doubling of that initial P. You don't have to worry about this too much because you won't be writing compositions in Pali, but just learn to recognize it when you come across it in reading. But this happens only with those words in which there is the suppressed consonant. But in a word like puto, okay, in Sanskrit it's putra. So here, when you put su preceding it, there's no suppressed, there's no suppressed R which manifests. So it just becomes saputra, as in Pali, saputa. Okay, any questions about any of this material? Don't worry about, as I said, grammatical explanations are always often intimidating, and I don't like them either to read them or to have to summarize them. It's much easier just to take a reading selection and then diagnose it. Okay, any questions? Then we can go directly to the reading selection. This will be now going to the beginning of lesson two. Okay, we begin with some verses from Dhammapada. Okay, I will read them and then explain. I see one of the things I just explained is contradicted. Okay, the first line. Okay. You like to, for verses, okay, maybe you recite after me. With prose, it takes a lot of time and not so necessary. And there will be compact discs which have been prepared for distribution.
We have 10.
Just 10, right. But more will be made by next week for those who don't get it this week.
They need to register.
They have to register, yeah, how many we have to make. Okay, let's take the verse. Kicho manusa pati labo. Kichang machanang jivitang. Machanang jivitang. Kichang sadhamma savanang. Kicho buddhanang upado. Okay. As I said, for the first part of the lesson, the first readings, I'll give the explanation. Then you have to give the explanations for the further readings. Okay. Kicho manusa pati labo. Okay. The word kicho means difficult, hard. Now, manusa pati labo, this is a compound. This is a compound which belongs to a class called tapurisa. We'll come to it in a later lesson as with a grammatical explanation. But this is a compound in which the first part is in an indirect case in relation to the second part. In other words, in this one, manusa pati labo. Pati labo means gaining, obtaining. Manusa means human beings, but here it means the human state. So, as a compound, manusa pati labo means the gaining of the human state, the gaining of human stature. And then kicho, difficult. And so now manusa is a genitive of the human state in relation to pati labo. So difficult is the gaining of the human state. The next one, and now this is the point that's made in the grammatical explanation. This is an equation, this is called an equational sentence. That's point 5 in the grammar, where you have a noun described by an adjective without any predicate verb connecting them. You don't have to say kicho manusa pati labo hoti. You don't need the verb meaning to be, is. But you can just say in Pali, difficult, the human state gaining. In other words, difficult is the gaining of the human state. The next one, kichang, Machanang jivitang. Here, jivitang is life. Machanang means mortals, mortal beings. And what case is machanang?
Genitive.
Yeah, genitive. Genitive what?
Plural.
Plural. It's genitive plural. So it's difficult is the life of human beings, or of mortals. Kichang sadhamma savanang. Here, sadhamma savanang is another compound, another, we call these tapurisa. I might as well write that down, though it's not explained in the grammar. I think it's a compound in which the different parts represent different cases, different grammatical cases. To give an English example, tapurisa compound, we have them in English, not so many. For example, teaspoon is a spoon for tea. Tablecloth, cloth for the table. Wristwatch is a watch for the wrist. Okay, so here we have sad, actually there's three parts in this compound. Sad, dhamma, savanang. Sad is an adjective meaning good or true. Dhamma, of course, is the teaching. And savana means what? Hearing. So, literally, difficult is hearing of the true Dhamma. What it means is difficult, that it's difficult to get an opportunity to hear the true Dhamma. And then the fourth line, Kicho Buddhanang Upado. Upado is arising. Buddhanang is what case? Case and number? Right. Somebody said plural genitive? Yeah, it's correct. So difficult is the arising of the Buddhas. And this, I think the sense is that the arising of Buddhas is something that's rare, rarely met with. Not that the arising is painful. Because there's another verse which says, and I think it comes in the Dhammapada too, Sukho Buddhanang Upado, which means pleasant or blissful is the arising of the Buddhas. Because the Buddhas, when they arise, they are the cause for the people to be happy. Actually, that is so, yeah. I would say, actually, in the first line, yeah, Kicho is rare. Rare is the gaining of the human state. The obtaining of the human state. I think in the second line, Kichang Machanang Jivitang, there I think it has a sense of difficult. The life of humans is difficult, having to fall sick, to work hard, all of the sometimes poverty, ups, downs. The third line and fourth line, both they're rare as best. Yeah, thank you. That's a good point. Okay, the next verse, okay, we could recite it first. Sabba papasa akaranang. Kusalasa upasampada. Sachita pariyodapanang. Etang buddhana sasanang. Okay, first line. And I should also call your attention just to the usual grammatical, or we call syntax, the sequence of cases. Generally, when there's a nominative and a genitive in relation to each other, the genitive precedes the nominative, as in, say, buddhanang upado. In English, it's reversed. We say the arising of Buddhas. But in Pali, it's of Buddhas the arising. Though sometimes in Pali, the sequence can be reversed. for special emphasis. Okay, so here, sabba papasa akaranang. Here, karanang means doing. It's from the root kar. From this we get in Sanskrit karma, and in Pali kamma. So karanang is doing, and akaranang is the negation of that. It means not doing. And then sabba means all, and papa means evil. And now these together, they're joined to make a compound, all evil. And papasa is what case? Yeah, and what number? The number, excuse me? Singular, so it's singular genitive. So the not doing of all evil, often we say abstaining from all evil. Kusalasa upasampada. Here, upasampada, one meaning is the ordination of a monk is upasampada. But the sense seems to be that of entering upon something. When one enters into the monastic order, then one gets the upasampada. It's the act of admission or act of entry. But here it's the entry upon kusala. Kusala means wholesome, the good. And it is also, what case is this? A number? So the entry upon the wholesome, for the, sometimes you could say, the acquisition of the wholesome. Okay, now we have one of those long words which so different from Chinese, in which everything is clipped into these single words, very short words. Sachitta pariyodapanam. Oh, I think we did the recitation of that already. Now, I'm just reciting it to precede the analysis. Okay. Sa, as I explained before, means one's own. Chitta is mind. And then the key word is pariyodapanang, which has the meaning of cleansing. Cleaning, yeah, cleaning, making clean. Well, you could say pure, even purification. Okay. Then etang buddhana sasanang. Here, etang, we've had some explanation of the, we call it the demonstrative pronouns. It means this. Then buddhana is number and case. What is a number and case? Genitive plural. And sasanang is the teaching. So this is the teaching of the Buddhas, of the enlightened ones. So the sense of the verse, the not doing of all evil, entry upon the wholesome, the cleansing of one's own mind. This is the teaching of the Buddhas. Okay, next verse. We recite. Nahi vairena vairani. Samanti da kudachanam. Avairena cha samanti. Avairena cha samanti. Esa dhammo sanantano. Okay, the first line here, the key word is vaira, which means enemy or enmity. But here I think the sense is enmity, enmity. The state of enmity. And this little particle, he, It's just emphatic. It doesn't really have a meaning that you could translate, or maybe you could render it indeed or verily. But it just gives a little punch to the sentence. Sometimes it's not so easy. It doesn't have to be translated. Okay, so the line means not. Let me take the first two lines together. Okay, then the line two we have here, well, it looks like one word, but it's actually the result of a sandhi adjoining together. Samantida. What does that mean? Anybody, can anybody analyze the sandhi? Sesa. No, I don't want the meaning, no. What I want is, what is samantida? It's not the meaning, but it's a compound, or it comes about through a conjunction, through a sandhi. Let's break the sandhi, and what do we get? Speak up. Samaditti. No. Right, that's it.
Oh, that's what you...
That's what I want. Maybe I wasn't making my question clear. But I wanted to... What are the words that enter into this sandhi? It's samanti plus ida. Now, samanti is a verb which means, somebody said, seizes. And from the form, the ending, anti, we could tell what number is it. Case and number. Person and number. I heard the correct answer coming someplace. Yeah. Third person and the number? Plural. Okay. And that goes, third person plural goes with the subject of the sentence, which is Vairani, enmities. And kudachinang just means at any time, ever at any time. So to take this sentence word by word, indeed, it is not by enmity, Vairena, that enmities, Vairani, cease or subside here, Ida, Kudachanang, at any time. Never by enmity do enmities subside here at any time. Then the next couplet, Avairena cha samanti esa dhammo sanantano. Avairena is just the negation of enmity. It's by non-enmity. And here though, cha is put in, which means and, but it functions pretty much just as like a filler of the meter. Or you could even say it has a function almost like but, rather than and, but. But by non-enmity, samanti. Samanti means they subside. Asa is that pronoun, demonstrative pronoun, meaning. Actually, this is better than... I disagree with the book where they say that it could be used to mean that. This is better. So this Dhammo here has the sense of law, and Sananto means Sanantano means eternal. So this is an eternal law. So to sum up, it is not by enmity that enmities subside here at any time, but by non-enmity they subside. This is an eternal law. Okay, shall we go on to number two? Okay, now the heat is starting to turn up with number two. Okay, this one, I think it takes time. If I recite and you recite back, you're going to get the disc, then you can recite, practice on your own. So let me just go and explain. But I'll recite first, and then I'll dissect each sentence. Tihi bhikkave angehi samanagato papaniko ababo anadigattang va bogang adigantung adigattang va bogang pating katung. Okay, as somebody had mentioned the other day, a few weeks ago, the bhikkhus could be left out of the picture. In other words, bhikkave, it's just a form of address, the Buddha speaking to the monks. O monks, okay, tihi angehi samanagato. Samanagato means endowed with, or you could say possessed of. Then tihi angehi, what case is this? I've heard it. Instrumental and what number?
Plural.
Plural instrumental. And the word anga, very important word, means factor. We get it many, many times. Particularly, you know the work of collection called Anguttara Nikaya, one of the books of the Pali Tripitaka. Anga plus uttara, which means increasing by a factor. Because each collection revolves around numbers of factors. In fact, this passage is from Anguttara Nikaya. Okay. So, possess, let's use endowed with, because that takes an instrumental. Endowed with three factors. Papaniko is a merchant. Abubbo means incapable, unable. Let's say unable. And here they're using an infinitive forms. Okay. Anadigattang va bogang adigantung. Here, abubbo, unable, you have to look for the infinitive form which it takes. Where do you find the infinitive? What word here is an infinitive? No, keep up. I heard it here. But a little mispronounced. Look at the book. Adigantung. So, unable to gain, or to obtain. To acquire, okay, they use acquire. Okay, what isn't he able to acquire? Anadigattang bogang. That is, bogang is wealth. Anadigattang, not obtained, not acquired. And as I explained several times, when we have these either-or constructions in Pali, instead of saying, he didn't do this or that, or he's not able to do this or that, we say he's not able to do this, he's not able to do or this, and he's not able to do or that. Something you have va is repeated. So the va here, you almost in translating it into English have to just sort of postpone it until you come to the rest of the sentence. So he's unable to obtain or to acquire unacquired wealth or, then here we take va, the second va, or pating katung, which means to make increase, adigattang bogang, acquired wealth. Okay, so to take the whole sentence, endowed with three factors, O monks, we'll let them in, a shop, bookkeeper or merchant is unable, then go to adhikantum, unable to obtain, to acquire unacquired wealth, or to make increase acquired wealth. Katamehi tihi. Now in English we would say normally watri, but in Pali, when you have a question about some item in an indirect case, then the question retains that indirect case. So here it's the what case? Katamehi tihi. Instrumental. The instrumental has to follow through. With what three? Okay. Now comes, this is the way, so many suttas, the Buddha raises a question and provides the answer himself. Ida bhikkave papaniko pubanha samayang nusakachang kamantang aditati. Here, O monks, a merchant Pubanha samayang. Pubanha means early part of the day. Samayang means time, occasion. So you could say the morning or forenoon. And this is that accusative, a word for time in the accusative. Pubanha samayang, it's an accusative case, but it just functions to indicate a period of time. So in the forenoon, the merchant nusakachang kamantang aditati. Aditati here means something like to attend to. Kamantang is work. Sakachang is carefully, thoroughly. Here they give, okay. Thoroughly, carefully, properly. So in the forenoon, the merchant does not properly attend to work. Then you think maybe he works hard at the middle of the day, but majanhika samayang nasa kachang kamantang aditati. The same thing, except it's now the middle of the day. He doesn't attend properly to work in the middle of the day. And sayanha samayang na sakachang kamantang aditati. Sayanha samayang means what?
The evening
time. So in the evening, he does not attend properly to work. Then, again, this is a common structure in the suttas. The Buddha now just sort of draws the conclusion that follows. But now it's added with imehi, with these. So, possessed, endowed with these three factors, a merchant is unable to acquire unacquired wealth or to make increase wealth that has been acquired. Okay, now the Buddha doesn't make statements like this because he's interested in what shopkeepers or merchants do, but he's a master of similes and analogies in order to point his fingers at the monks and get them working at their proper job. So he says, Evam eva ko bhikkave. This evam eva, this is an expression which sort of follows through a simile. It means so too, or in the same way. And the ko, this word ko, it doesn't have any translatable meaning, but it just gives a little punch to the sentence. It's like a pepper that you put into food to give it a little spicy flavor. It just gives a little emphasis to the statement that's to come. Okay. Tihi damehi samanagato bhikkhu. When a monk a monk who is endowed with three qualities, in the same way a monk who is endowed with three qualities, abhubbo anigattang va kusalang dhammang adigantung, he is incapable or unable to acquire a kusala dhamma, a wholesome state. Here apparently it means some kind of superior state of samadhi or insight. Unadigattang. He is unable to acquire an unacquired wholesome state. Adigattang va kusalang dhammang pating katung. Or to make increase a wholesome state that he has acquired. What are these three? Ida bhikkave bhikkhu pubandha samayang nasakachang samadhi nimittang aditati. Here, O monks, in the forenoon, a monk does not properly attend to not his shop or his business, but samadhi nimittang. Samadhi nimittang. Samadhi means concentration or meditation. And here nimittang means, we say, object. So he doesn't properly attend to a meditation object. And so then you think, well, maybe he's practicing in the middle of the day or in the evening. But the text then says, Majanhika samayang na sakachang samadhi nimittang aditati. In the middle of the day, he does not properly attend to a meditation object. Then maybe he's practicing in the evening, but sayanha samayang nasakachang samadhi nimittang aditati. In the evening, he does not properly attend to a meditation object. And then the next sentence, again, just draws the conclusion, or sort of sums up what has been said. Imehi ko bhikave tihi damehi samanagato bhikkhu abhubbo anadigattang va kusalang dhammang adigantung, adigattang va kusalang dhammang pating katung. Endowed with these three qualities, a monk is unable to acquire an unacquired wholesome state or to make increase, to improve an acquired wholesome state. Okay, now the next paragraph, now we come to, this is part of the structure of the Buddha's teaching. First take the dark, what's called the dark side, or the negative side, then take the bright side, or the positive side. So now we've disposed of the dark side, now we come to the bright side. Here, I don't really have to read the Pali, but we could just go through it word by word. Endowed with three factors, a merchant, Papaniko, is able, Babo, to acquire adigantung, unacquired wealth, anadigattang bogang, or to increase, pating katung, acquired wealth, adigattang bogang. Okay, then the question. What three? With what three? Here, O monks, the merchant properly attends to work. Here, in the morning, a merchant properly attends to work. Here, in the middle of the day, you see the pay there? That's the abbreviation. Instead of repeating the whole statement, you just say pay. That means fill out when you're reciting. And then Sayanha Samaye, in the evening, he attends properly to his work. Now, imehi tihi angehi samanagato, endowed with these three factors, a merchant, papaniko, is able to acquire unacquired wealth, or to increase patinkatum, acquired wealth. And then the application to the training. Evameva ko bhikkhave, in the same way, O monks, a monk who is endowed with three dhammas, three qualities, is able, bubbo, to acquire adigantum, to acquire an unacquired wholesome state, or, here the va comes in, or to make increase, to improve an acquired wholesome state. What three? Here, O monks, a bhikkhu, a monk, pubanha samayang, in the morning, attends carefully to a meditation object, an object of concentration. In the middle part of the day, fill it out for yourself. Peyalam. Ah, there's a spelling mistake. Sayanha, it should be sa. The long A is the first. Sayanha Samayang. It's the first A is the long one. Sayanha Samayang. In the evening time, he attends properly to his samadhi nimitta, his object of concentration. Endowed, then the concluding sentence, imehi ko bhikkhave tihi dhammehi, endowed with these three qualities, a monk is able to acquire an unacquired wholesome state, or to increase an acquired wholesome state. Everything is completely logical, very, very well structured here. In the way somebody described the Buddha's procedure, first you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them what you want to tell them, then you tell them what you've just told them. Okay, maybe we'll pause here. If there's any questions about this passage, these, or anything in the grammar, please. Yeah, Suki. Yeah. Actually, in a sense, they're both the subject because they're both nominative. But in normally, the way I would translate it, I would say, this is a law that is eternal. But you could also translate it, this law is eternal. It seems that there's not a fixed place where you have to put the is. One could take it in either way. But they're both, Dhammo and Sanantano are nominative, so they're both the subject. But the word, or actually, Asa and Dhammo, this Dhamma, yeah, and Sanantano, they're all nominative. So the only question is, where does one put the is? Is it, this is a Dhamma which is eternal, or this Dhamma is eternal? It doesn't really make that much of a difference. Does things seem clear? I'm just not sure how clear the readings are. It may take a little while to get used to the word order, but this is why again and again I repeat it till maybe sometimes you want to throw me out. But when you do the exercises, you should write or type the Pali, put in the meaning above each word, showing that you understand the case, and then after you translate in that way, then translate again to yourself, trying to make a normal sounding English sentence out of it. That way you get familiar with the idiom, and then you become fluent in the language so that you can read passages easily. And if you don't do the exercises in this way, you just look at them casually, looking up occasional words, and then think, I'll get it on Saturday, then you won't get to learn the language well. And the purpose is coming to the class is to learn to read the text, not for entertainment or just to hear the sound of the language. Okay, any further questions? Okay, I think next week we won't be here, is that correct?